Hello and welcome to the Comics Podcast Beginning of the Year Extravaganza. This is episode 235. I'm your host, Jean-Luc. We are here to talk about the best comics of last year. And I am joined by Emily, Chad, Alex. Everybody say hello.
Hello.
At the same time.
Hey,
goodbye, everybody.
Oh, fuck. We got to start again.
Damn it.
Oh, man. I had one line. You even fed it to me, and I fucked it up.
It's okay. It's okay. You already ate. I was forcing you. It was a bad scene, Chad. It was a
bad scene.
Bad scene.
Didn't deserve that.
That's why I belong behind the camera.
Ooh. We have cameras?
Also, my horrid ugliness.
No. We just get a makeup team for that. They can fix anything.
Well, I get a makeup team.
They'll make up someone else.
You can get a makeout team.
Ooh, you are right. You are right. And we are going to make out with some comic books. We're going to make out with a top 10 of with a ranked list of 10 comic books that came out in the year 2020.
We already made out with this list, and now
we're
just
making out. Not that great.
Wow, look at you speaking down on us from your
place.
All right,
Chad, we were going to only talk about comics, but go ahead.
You're in the minority opinion there, Chadley.
Go ahead. Lay it out for us.
It's just you could be doing literally anything else.
Naruto, Boruto.
Yeah, but kissing is fun.
I'm never going to live that one down. I guess I
don't deserve to live
I
that
love
one
that
down.
Story. I tell people who have no idea who you are, Chad, that my friend is just wonderful.
I think between Alex and I, everyone in our Discord server knows that story.
You're kind of a legend, Chad.
Well, thank you.
No, they're genuinely like, damn.
Mad what
a
guy.
It was the Chunin exams. Things were different back in 2006.
I'm watching that right now. Man, it's getting intense, and this person has a really long tongue, and I don't think they're good.
All right, well, we can
See,
talk
there
about...
we go.
We should I've talk about that next week. Whatever. We'll circle back on that next week. But for now, we should get into this big list of comic books.
It could be a little smaller.
It will be a little smaller. That's the point of what we're doing here. We're going to make a big list into a small list.
Wow.
I think we're gonna do the same thing we've done the past couple of years now, where we just have a list of this year. It's 40, so it's not the gargantuan list of last year and the year before. But we got a list of 40 comics that we're gonna talk through that came out this year, in alphabetical order. We're gonna talk about them, and we're gonna figure out which 10 of them should be our top 10 comics of the year.
Wow.
I don't need to read the list off because we're going to go through this alphabetically and talk about them each individually.
Yeah, and each book probably has one person who, maybe like a champion, who's going to bring it up and talk about it, and then
whatever works. We'll talk about them until we're done talking about them, I guess, and then decide where we are. If we want to cut it, we want to leave it for now. We want to put it in limbo. Like maybe it's on the list, maybe it's not.
Yeah, we have our interns standing by, ready to highlight these books.
Exactly.
What
we have a team of interns.
Jennifer.
Jennifer is the intern, and you have Jennifer to thank for your Twitter posts over the beautiful Twitter posts over the last.
Yeah, I gotta
week.
Say
She's
it's
been
consistent,
work.
And as much as this week we're not talking about new books, Jennifer read some new books, including DC Future Slate stuff.
Yeah, in our Slack channel, Jennifer told me she's going to be reading some more new comics and posting about them. So
nice.
I don't follow watch out us for those. On Twitter.
You follow me,
okay,
but you don't
again.
Follow
okay,
us.
Start again.
I don't follow the Comics Podcast on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, you should take an adventure, man, and follow the Comics Podcast on Twitter.
Jean-Luc,
everyone left now.
Let's go.
Thank you. You chased them all away. We can talk about the real story.
Okay.
I don't have one.
All right. Yeah, the first book on the list is Adventure Man. Which came out earlier this year. I don't know if there's anyone in particular who's like particularly excited about this one.
Finished issue 4.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Yeah. So this is it's a Matt Fraction book.
Yay.
And it is like quirky in the way that Matt Fraction books are quirky, and I like that about it. It's also really dense. And I don't know. Like I've really enjoyed it. I think a big part of it is, for me at least, is the visuals, and not just like it looks really cool. Like obviously, like all the stuff that like happens in the Adventure Man world has this like really great pulp aesthetic to it. But there's like all these because the main character is hearing impaired, not fully deaf, but, and there's a lot of really cool like visual tricks that Terry and Rachel Dodson do to sort of establish that, that I think are like really neat storytelling mechanics, and I give it a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good adventure comic. Like it's kind of has a nostalgic sort of feel to it. Not really in sort of the subject matter it deals with, but in sort of the way it's made up, and it is a bit dense at times. But it's also it's an engaging adventure. It's just not what I would consider a top 10 comic this year.
Oh, you don't think so?
Well,
I put it on my top 10, but only because there are a lot of these comics that I didn't read. So, an Adventure Man was one that I did read.
I think part of the problem for me is that, so this book started in June, and it has had four issues. Last year, between June and I guess November, I think, or October, I think. And they're all oversized issues, but it's one of those things where if this had had a more consistent release schedule, I could see this being like a pretty high on my top 10, especially because I was really high on the first three. And then it's one of those books where there is so much going on that like it's hard to keep paying attention to it when the schedule starts to slip, if that makes sense, which is such a tough thing because I don't really want to hold that against the creators, right? Because like the actual thing that they're making is really good, but as a person reading it and trying to keep up with the story, the release schedule definitely like damaged it for me. I don't know what to do with that because like if there had been six issues between June and December, I think I'd be making a case for this like maybe high top 10. But where I'm at right now, it's like to me this is like a like 8, 9, 10 book. But I don't know. It sounds like if maybe there's not as much support for it as I kind of thought there might be.
I want to clarify. Like I like the book, and it is just a matter of an. In the year that it did, it's not a top 10 for me. It's not a book that had as big of an impact. But, I mean, you know, if next year we get a full schedule of Adventure Man and it stays this consistent, then I can definitely see it on the top 10 list. But, I mean, if you guys feel strongly about it, we can keep it around for now.
And we should say, with, like, two exceptions, these books all at least have merit. Like, they're all good in one way or another. Obviously, like, they have flaws that we're going to talk about. But there's only two on here that, which we will
Jeff
get
Lemire,
to.
You need to learn.
That I would... Yeah, exactly. So, how do we feel about Adventure Man? Are we leaving it for now, or are we?
I want to leave it for now.
Okay.
We can. I mean, at any point, we could obviously take it off the list if we feel like there are more deserving books. But I think the fact that we all have, well, Chad wasn't reading it as much as we were, I don't think. But like the fact that we were mostly keeping up with it and reading it, and all have positive impressions of it, I think makes it at least worth keeping around just to start.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This first pass, generally probably fewer things are going to end up getting cut. This next one I think is probably doesn't need a whole lot of discussion. Chad, do you want to talk a little bit about Ascender?
Ascender is a Jeff Lemire book, and that's why it needs to stay on this list.
Okay, done.
All right.
I feel like we need a separate list for Jeff Lemire, where we just rank the Jeff Lemire books in order of best and least best.
He's a fucking
machine.
There
were like only like three or four Jeff Lemire books this year, and most of the time there's like, hey, we can make a top 10 Jeff Lemire book list. So, you know, maybe next year it'll just be Jeff Lemire 10 times.
Yeah, I mean, that's 3 out of 40, it's like, true. In the whole year.
I mean,
year.
It's probably 3 out of 10, maybe. We'll see, depending how things go, but... I don't know. I guess for people who don't know anything about Ascender, yes, it is Jeff Lemire. Is there anything else you want to say about it, Chad, or you want to leave it at Jeff?
It's really, really interesting and fun, like science fantasy. There's a heavy kind of Star Wars-y vibe. There's a lot of great creature design, a lot of cool ideas with magic and technology. Artwork is fantastic. I really like all of the characters. There's just a lot of fun shit going on. in this, and I'm really glad like it came out, because I know it's a related to Descender, which came out however many years ago, and this acted as a really good jumping on point for me for this as like a franchise. And I'm excited to see where it goes, and then possibly dive into Descender if I like how this ends.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this one's done very soon. So I think Jean-Luc said that Ascender and Descender together are going to be 50 issues altogether, which, you know, kind of a lot, but when it's two different series, that's not too bad.
I feel like that's a good length for like a two-part
epic. Yeah. And then, there's Ascender, Descender. What's the third one going to be then? Is it just
Resender?
Resender. But another great book this year, Batman 3 Jokers.
Nope.
Chad, tell us about our journey with Batman 3 Jokers.
Batman 3 Jokers was interesting because the first issue was mediocre, but like not a train wreck. And I was like, oh, well, there we go. And then the second issue I thought was actually kind of good. And then I don't remember what happened in the third issue, but I don't think I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my exact same journey because I remember we were on it was the episode John wasn't there. And we read 3 Jokers after, like, the first one was okay.
And you told me issue 2 was good.
And yeah, well, John it was. And I read issue 2 and it was not.
Well, I don't know. It was fun. It was a fun book.
I think maybe the thing is that we read issue 2 and then maybe issue 2 was fine on its own, but we immediately read issue 3 afterwards.
There was
and
a mistake.
That just totally...
Yeah, 3 Jokers
Three Jokers does not belong on any top 10 list, dude. The end of this book with that whole Joe Chill shit is like,
oh, it was horrible.
Honestly, I spent my life is really terrible.
Now I realize that there are people too.
Yeah, exactly. I realized that billionaires actually there's good billionaires actually.
Whoa. Something disappeared from our list.
It's gone.
Well, I don't
I
have
made
to spell
it disappear.
Three Jokers.
I'm a magic man.
What I will
heart
say
woo,
is
bye bye.
That when I was poking around on the internet to see, like, when I was trying to come up with my own top list of 2020, I was like, I wonder, what do people in the comics sphere have to say? And that was a mistake, because one of the first lists that I clicked on did have Batman 3 Jokers on their best of 2020 list.
I just don't even like if that maybe that's the only comic book they read, but I just don't see.
I really don't get it. Like, it's not.
It wasn't like number one. It was just like it was on the best of 2020.
Yeah, it's tough because like it's one of those books where like the dialogue and the art and everything is like totally competent, so I kind of like I guess I get it from a craft standpoint, but it's not doing anything particularly interesting, and the conclusions it draws are literally just like it's literally like just go watch The Dark Knight, man. Like if you want a conclusion about the Joker like that, just go watch The Dark Knight. It's the same shit that's been tread for years. And
did you know Batman's parents are dead?
Did you know that? Hey,
no spoilers on this episode, chat, please.
Yeah, exactly. So this next one is interesting, actually. I think some of us kind of have had some interesting journeys with Big Girls, which is a book that I didn't think would even make it on the short list when I first like heard about it, and then I actually read it and I found myself really
it's
digging
good.
It. I still don't know. I feel like maybe at this point I might even be this book's biggest defender, but I honestly don't know about this one. Like, I'm curious to hear where other people have like landed on it, like with some time to sort of sit with it. It left me with a sour taste in my mouth because of the way the last issue went in terms of its portrayal of the I don't remember what the term they have for the boys that have been turned into kaiju. Bijus.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
I don't feel like
it's bisexual
need to say
culture
that.
To turn into a
no,
kaiju.
No, just say it out loud. Just heard it. Okay. Oof.
Anyway, yeah, I think that this book starts off has a really strong start in terms of its world building, in that it is like very much a book about, you know, the securitization state and how it invents threats where there are none to justify the military-industrial complex. I'm like, damn, this is some real shit. Also, it's a good kaiju book. And then that last issue really took a turn where it was like, no, these guys are objectively bad, actually, and we have to exterminate them and sort of removes some of the moral gray area that I think made the first few issues of this really compelling to me. And I don't know where everyone else ends up sitting on this book, but I would be fine taking it all. Like, I would be fine seeing it not make... I'd be fine seeing it make the top 10. I'd be fine seeing it not make the top 10. And I feel like other people are maybe a little bit lower on it than I am from the discussions we've had, but...
I think my opinion's fairly close to yours, where I was like, this is going to be dumb. Hey, this is actually kind of neat. And then, yeah, that last issue was like, oh, well, we were doing something really cool, and I feel like we took a bit of a step back, and it's possible it'll course correct, but I don't know for certain, is the thing, right? Like,
yeah.
I did like this a lot more than I thought I would. It's like, oh, it's Attack on Titan, but I don't hate the characters. That's cool.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's a book that, like, if this wraps up, like, you know, May, June of next year and, like, becomes really good, is something that I could totally see us circling back on, you know, this time next year. Because, you know, if it makes good on everything, it's you know, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. But I don't want to make the mistake we made with Maneaters, where we liked the first few issues, put it on our top 10 list, and then, oops, that book got awful. And it turned out that the creator was a turd.
You know, I didn't know that.
Yep. Not that I think that arc will necessarily happen with Big Girls, but I feel like it's like with a book where there's like a question mark, I feel like maybe we take it off unless anyone has anything else to say about it.
I'm not sure where it's going to go in terms of consistency. And it's like, I would like it if it was just a fun kaiju book, and I would like it if it was tackling the themes that it sometimes is tackling. But it seems like it's like not sure what to do with all that at this point, but it's got cool potential.
I've enjoyed more issues of Big Girls than I haven't enjoyed, so I find that to be significant. But it's really gonna like, what would make it or break it for me is how it's going to turn out, and that doesn't really say anything about like 2020. It just says something about like Big Girls, and I feel like the coming year will show us whether or not like Big Girls totally sticks the landing or doesn't. But it is unfortunate that this last issue that came out has sort of
soured it.
Yeah. Because like I thought it would, like you guys said, it was doing some really cool stuff and it had some really interesting things to say, I thought. And then now I'm not so sure.
Right, exactly.
So,
cool.
I don't know.
Well, it's gone now, so it's been deleted. Alex, I need you to tell me about Billionaire Island, because I don't think you might be the only one who made it past issue one.
Yeah, so I've read all of Billionaire Island up to this point and had sort of a spotty release where I think 5 issues came out over the course of the year. And this is just further proof that just because you like a creator doesn't mean you're going to like all their projects unless they're Jeff Lemire. You know, we've had this year where we see Donny Cates and we're like, oh, dude, what are you doing over there with Crossover? And I don't know about that. And I really like Mark Russell's stuff. I mean, Wonder Twins was on our list last year. I like his sense of humor. And I feel like Billionaire Island in concept was a book that would be perfect for him and made for him. And sort of, you know,
are we cursed?
What?
Are we cursed?
Maybe like
because we put
Mr. Miracle,
yeah, God Country,
yeah,
Wonder Twins,
yeah.
I don't know, man. But, put a book on our top 10.
Donny Cates has like also done Redneck.
That's
he's
true.
Also done
we are going to talk about Redneck too for contention for this.
Yeah,
episode.
Yeah. So,
but Billionaire Island does that mean we're taking it off? Because if you didn't like it,
yeah,
then
we're
no
taking it off.
Here.
It's a book that's like I'm still going to read. But it's more so out of you know, faith in Mark Russell that he'll turn around eventually. But what he showed in 2020 was not a book that is up to the standards that I have for him.
Yeah,
yeah. But hey, you know, comics are a job, and sometimes you just you know write shit.
Yeah,
not shit. You know, okay.
So where are we as a collective? Where are we at with Bliss?
Man, Bliss is interesting. I like the style. Struggle to like care about it, and like if I were gonna give it a number, like solid 7.5.
Yeah,
I feel like there's something like this could either go. It's another thing where like, this could go in a really great direction and wind up being a really awesome story. Now that a lot of the groundwork's been set, or it could just kind of meander along at the pace it's going on, and it'll end as like, eh, that was fine, I'm glad I read it, but I'm not in love with it, is kind
of
where I sit.
Yeah, this is one of those books where I want so badly to just, like, unconditionally, like, love this book, and just, like, really, like, go to bat for this book every time it comes out, because there's so much in it that's really cool, and Caitlin Yarsky is a phenomenal artist. Like, just stylistically, this book is amazing. Like, just has so much, like, unique style and flair to it. And I just, like, I'm with you there, right? Like, I'm with you on what you said, where it's like, I read it and I'm like, I don't know that I actually give a shit about what's happening. Other than, you know, really enjoying the visuals.
It has a cool world, and it's like,
yeah, that's true.
Every issue has things that I'm like really excited about and things that I can point out and be like, whoa, that was awesome.
Yeah, like that fucking pterodactyl thing in issue 4.
Yeah.
Like that shit's really cool. I guess I think I was being a little harsh. Yeah. Yes, the world building I think has been really strong.
But every issue also, when I finish it, there's always an end. There's always, like, it's sort of a clunkily put together thing, but you're like, man, I kind of like this, and it's intriguing, and it's really not similar to anything on the market right now in a lot of ways, but it is a clunky thing, and I like it, and I would be fine keeping it around a little longer just to think about it, but I don't think quality-wise that it's anything more than the 7.5 Chad gave it at the time.
Yeah. Emily, do you have any thoughts on Bliss?
Well, I mean, like, I did, but Chad basically said what I was feeling is, like, I'm into this book, and I'm, like, I like a lot of the stuff that it has laid down, and I really like the art a lot, but it's just, I don't know, like, it's just when I think about Bliss, I'm like, oh yeah, Bliss.
So where are we at? Do we want to have it stick around a little bit? Do we want to take it off?
I save the time and take it off.
I feel like it makes the best of 2020.
It doesn't make it.
I'm with you there.
But it is one of the titles that I'm most excited for in 2021. So
it's the last three, man.
Fair.
Chad, you want to give us the pitch on Blue and Green, which is
sure.
The...
So.
Go ahead.
I don't remember the creative team's name because I'm bad at this, but Blue and Green is a graphic novel by Image about a jazz musician. His father dies, and his mother dies. They're both dead. He kind of goes on this weird soul searching to like kind of discover some family roots and old family friends and things like that. It's also like a horror book, and it's a book about like really falling too hard into your passion and forgetting about everything going on. The artwork is really, really good. It kind of reminds me of Underwinter at points, where it's just there's just enough distortion to it where nothing quite looks real. There's this really creepy, like, demon figure following the main character around who's acting like the deal with the devil. And so this guy is just trying to figure out, like, what happened to his family, who this, like, photograph is of this person that, like, his mother kept around. There's a lot of really cool visuals with music in it. It's just really moody and interesting, and I had a really good time with it.
It does that. It does that thing that Killer Be Killed did, and that Ed Brubaker does a lot of the time, where the writer really manages, like, really does a great job of balancing a lot of text with the visuals, because there are so many text boxes, and mm-hmm. a lot of it is like purple prose, but really good purple prose and really well written. And there are a couple moments where I'm like, maybe this would work better as a novel, but then you like just your eye glances like a little bit over to the right, and you're like, holy shit, okay, never mind, I'm wrong. The visuals in this are fantastic, and it does a really great job of really making that like synthesis work, I think. And I only read this earlier today. Yes, Alex. Alex sent a link to the Miles Davis song "Blue and Green." It is named for a Miles Davis song. But anyway, I don't know if Emily or Alex, if either of you read this, but I would like to see this stick around.
I didn't read it, but closer to recording this episode, I actually saw some recommendations for it, like outside of this show. So,
oh really?
I kind of wish I had.
Yeah, this got me excited about one of the DC books that's coming up, because it's the same creative team. Or at least the same writer. It might be a different artist. But I really like this. Alex, did you get a chance to get around to reading this?
Yeah,
or
I actually read it yesterday and listened to the song. And I liked it. I want to talk about it some more.
Cool. Well, let's keep it on then. Coffin Bound.
Fuck yeah.
Highlighted in green, baby. Emily, do you want to say anything about Coffin Bound?
I mean, I didn't really care for Coffin Bound, but like, that doesn't mean it's a bad book. It just means it didn't jive with me. If all of you guys liked it, I feel like that makes it worth putting on the list.
Yeah.
Coffin Bound's a comic that like pulls off being up its own ass flawlessly. So like, well. It's so great, and it's just so into itself, and the prose and the writing is so dense and thick for no reason, and the characters don't always sound like real people, and all of these should be complaints, but the tone of it and the visuals, it makes it work so, so well, and I love this weird dystopian world everything is in. It's so surreal. Like, goddamn, I just really, really like Coffin Bound.
Yeah, this book has just, like, it feels like an endless well of great ideas, and it just executes on like them like one after the other. Like the boxer character in this new series is just like maybe my favorite character in a comic book that came out this year. Just like absolutely like love the way he talks and his whole like philosophy on life and the way that that clashes with everything else and that seems to be going on in this universe. I'm gonna be thinking about that inverted issue, the one with the Entropy twins, or Madame Entropy, for a while, because I think that book is some really cool visual storytelling. There's just so much here that I don't know, just lands for me every time.
Yep.
It's really good. To see it. It's really good. And yes, second year in a row that there's a Coffin Bound that's really good, so.
Hell yeah, brother. Keep them coming. All right, Criminal Cruel Summer is next up here.
Heck yeah.
Which is one of our book club books that conveniently came out in the year 2020. 2020. I liked it. I don't know that this is on my personal list, but I wouldn't be opposed to it sticking around depending on where people are at on it. I liked Cruel Summer a lot. I think it's a fantastic crime book. With some like that like lands its thematic content really well about like, you know, families and the way that we like growing up and all of that, I think is all really solid. That being said, I guess it's not on my list. No. So I don't know that it like it's one of those weird ones because it, even though it didn't come out this year, it feels like it was a book club book, so it feels like it wasn't a 2020 release to me.
Oh.
Yeah, and feel like that is like pretty damning with you.
Damn.
I liked it, and I was like going to finish it, and then I think I started building Warhammer or something.
Yeah, see, that's
so that, like, I'm having more fun with this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like if honestly, like if Chad can't finish something, I feel like that's the end of it for him.
Yeah,
like, I feel like that says more about me than the comic.
I guess. I mean, I think that you should finish it because I think the ending is phenomenal. Like that last
issue
is fantastic. Yeah. And it really sticks the landing.
Yeah, this one is, because I don't know if we're going to do it, but I ranked the book club books in terms of like, oh, like which ones did I like the most or and that kind of thing. And Criminal's high up there. So I didn't really consider it as a top 10 short list, even though it's there. So it's not on my personal list. But it is Brubaker and Phillips just being like, yeah, we're like, you know, the best crime writing people in comics and, you know, consistently every year.
Yeah.
Whatever the project.
Yeah.
Read it.
Emily, where are you at on Cruel Summer?
I liked Cruel Summer a lot. Like most of you, it was not really on my personal list, but honestly, like, I really liked it a lot when we read it.
Sounds like a really strong number 11.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
Just the fact that none of us had it on our list, it's gone, but it's
like... Yeah, I feel like that's the thing with that book, though, is just like, man... Maybe it should be on my list.
Yeah.
Like, as we're sitting here talking about it and I'm thinking about what happened, I'm like, huh, maybe I fucked up.
I'm looking at the DC books I have on my list and I'm like, you know, Criminal could be on here. Criminal
could exactly. look at the DC and Marvel shit, you're like, ooh, Criminal's at least one of these.
You're looking at it. Right. It's really good. It's really good.
How do we feel about... it's fantastic. Where did we end up coming down on Crowded this year?
Crowded did exactly what I was afraid it was going to do, is it stuck around too long and I stopped caring and the joke stopped landing.
And then it stopped coming out.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we had Crowded on our list last year, but I seem to recall it making it and it being like,
this
is cool, it has good potential. And again, Chad was like, I hope they don't keep this going for too much longer because it feels like they're running into it.
Yeah. Last year we had it on our list and I think it was pretty high because we all enjoyed it. The year before that I think I kept it off. but I think it was on our list last year, and I think for a good reason. I think at the time it was really good and it was telling a really compelling story, and it, exactly like Chad said, it went on too long, got old, stopped being interesting, and then hasn't had an issue since March, so
bye.
Who the fuck put Dark Knight's Metal on this
list?
Okay,
so like,
who did that?
The original Dark Knight's Metal was transformative, and they took the characters and they took the concept of metal and nth metal and they put it together.
All right, so the next book we're going to talk about is Deadly Class, which honestly also shouldn't be on this list.
Honestly,
which pains me to say.
I think
to be fair, it only had two issues this year. Also, both of those issues were fucking
Dark Knight's
terrible.
Metal has a higher claim on this list than Deadly
Shut
Class
up.
Does.
That's a lie.
So,
we are not talking about
I feel
about
bad for
Dark
fans
Knight's
of
Metal.
Deadly Class, because that book's been coming out for, like, what, 30 issues now?
50.
Or more. And it's like, oh, and now it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no.
What, John, it's been consistent since, till like, at least 40, 42, I think, was the cutoff?
Yeah, I mean, on rereads, like, the first arc is a little rocky, but, like, it's good, but you know. It's finding its identity.
They did the
and then it was
thing,
fantastic.
Though. Yeah.
They did the same thing where they did the relaunch, but it's been consistently fantastic up until like the end of last year / this year, where it just has drifted so far into what feels very like self-indulgent desire to like never let Marcus grow as a character.
And I'm wondering if that's like, because it does coincide with the show being canceled, and I'm not sure if it's like a sort of like, if that canceling, you know, maybe rough the creative team up a little bit, or they're just putting a lot more into it and they're like, I want to hold on to Marcus, I can't kill him off, he's not gonna be on TV anymore. I don't know, but
dude, if the fact that this show got canceled, if the fact that this show got canceled sort of like killed Rick Remender's desire to like, you know, really work on this book, that's a real bummer.
Yeah,
but yeah, it shouldn't be on this list. It's not going to be on the list. Nope. Cool. I don't see a version of this list without Department of Truth on it.
It's so good.
I agree.
What a wonderful, interesting comic.
James Flippantinian, the writer of Batman for, like, Detective Comics for, like, what, 45 issues or something? We didn't read it after the second arc, but it's just so good.
It really does. Like, he does so much cool shit with that with the concept of, like, if, you know, believing in conspiracy theories makes them real. And, you know, it's like, okay, this is neat. The first two issues are a really good horror comic, and the third issue is, like, this really, like, honestly gut punch, like, kind of shocking meditation on, well, maybe it's good in this world to believe in conspiracy theories because it can make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Still, like, constantly think about the issue with, like, the woman whose son was killed in a school shooting. I think about it all the time because it has so deeply affected me.
I know. It is such an impactful issue. And, yeah, no, I like, just can sit here gushing about Department of Truth. I think it absolutely has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be on this list.
Issue 3 is probably my favorite issue of the year. I mean, we also have Snot Girl, and we'll get to that. But it's just like you said, John, it sets it up. You're like, oh, this is a cool concept. This is well written. And then it's like, holy shit, they've gut punched us, and it's only issue 3. And
yeah, I'm really excited for this book.
Yeah.
Similarly, I don't really see a version of this list without Die on it.
Yes.
Die's great.
I think that you know, we put Die on our list last year, but this was like Die's year. You know, like. It sort of transitioned into being something that was way more, felt way more serialized. Like it was like the story was like way larger than it felt initially and pulled off that transition really well. And I think the character, the stuff that Gillen has done with the characters this year has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think Dai's got to be on this list. Chad, I think that you, I didn't end up reading Dollhouse Family, and I was the only, I think the only one who was like kind of interested in reading more of it. So Chad, I think you're kind of the arbiter of whether this book stays or goes.
Oof. Okay. I remember really, really enjoying like the first four of five issues of this, and then I think the fifth issue did something stupid and I forgot. I have no idea how this ends anymore. Like, I legitimately don't remember. But I think like Satan did it and it was dumb.
Okay.
So there's like there's a really good journey here and a poor destination.
Yeah. So
which I would say remove.
Yeah, I was going to say I think I know where that goes for you.
Which sucks because like I don't, this seems to be a thing with IDW books, right? Like I think Kanto kind of had this and there's to an extent Kill Lock, but I liked Kill Lock enough where I want to I'll bat for that one. Where it's like there's really good stuff, good visuals, and then it just it's like it doesn't quite know how to finish the damn journey, you know? It doesn't know how to like wrap it all together without pulling something out of its ass.
Yep, I think that is definitely true. Cool. We got Excellence up next, which I think this year also, like, this book started last year, and I think like similarly to Die, it had a really breakout year this year where it sort of solidified its social critique, which it was sort of like, it was there in the issues that came out in 2019, but in 2020, I think this book really, you know, and timely, really sort of solidified, like, the where it's what its political stance is and how it builds that into the series in a, I think a really, really compelling way. And also I think just like generally made the characters, not only, not just the character arcs, but like the character struggles with each other, like really like way more compelling, as well. I would like to see this on our list, but I don't know where.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where everyone else is with Excellence.
I wish I could remember more plot stuff to it, but because it hasn't come out in a while.
Yeah, it's been
a minute. But I know like this was the year where I was really excited to keep reading this book because it was getting really, really cool. It was doing really cool things. I love the style and the action and the way magic is handled. There's a lot of really good like urban fantasy stuff in here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love, you know, all of that about it. I'm really excited for this book to hopefully make it come back consistently this year. I know obviously a lot of books are kind of like scheduling wise kind of fucked by COVID, but Alex, Emily,
any thoughts on Excellence or? So no thoughts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Alex.
So I reread Excellence. I think it was when we were supposed to originally, the day we were supposed to originally do this show. So last Saturday.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I like the issues that came out this year were really good. The art style is, just again, there's nothing like it, and it's fantastic. It didn't make my list, but this is one that I could see on our list, and this was probably my like 11th one, mostly because if I'm looking at the year and I'm looking at like when things came out and the impact they had on me, this was like right there, but didn't thing, even though I did end up rereading it. So excellent.
Really, Alex, good. Would okay. You say that it was
pretty good?
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we'll put it in green for now, and if we have too many, you know, that we've locked in, we'll cut them.
Sorry, Adventure Man. It's the only one in yellow right now where we were like,
yeah. Well, because it's the only one that we, like, didn't delete immediately. Family Tree. We highlighting this one in
it's
green.
It's the worst Jeff Lemire book of the year. Jeff Lemire. But.
But that puts it above plenty of other books on this list.
Family Tree is fantastic, yeah. I think Finger Guns is, I think I'm the only one who read this, and I think it can go because, like, as much as I do enjoy it, it's ultimately not it didn't make my list this year. It came really close, but it is just, like, a really good YA book. I wish there were more books like it, but it is just, like, really good and cute and has, like, a good edge to it, but definitely can, nice. Could see it go. Next up is, I think, a big one.
Gideon Falls.
Gideon Falls, this year, huh? Which finished. Yeah, we're done. No more Gideon Falls.
Yeah.
Gideon stopped falling.
You can never read it again. So, sorry. That's it.
It ceases to exist.
Yep. that's the thing. Like, every book we vote and say we're excited about, we kill it off after the year. You know, it's the pack you make.
Well, Gideon Falls is fantastic, and I think should be on this list. I don't think we've talked about the last issue of Gideon Falls, which I really fucking loved. The ending is like the ending being like the last couple pages is a little mid. Like, I'm not like 100% on board with like the, oh, and it's like a cycle and it does it again. But I get why that element is there, because it fits with like the time universe, the time travel stuff, the parallel dimension stuff. It kind of fits and it works. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I could get on board with it. It's not my favorite way to wrap to end it. But I think the final confrontation is really well done, even if turning off screen rotation on my iPad was marginally annoying to read the book. I thought it was a fantastic. I thought it ended, you know, on the whole, really well, and nowhere near, like, even if I'm not super excited about it, it's nowhere near like the level where it would keep it from, you know, me from being like, yeah, Gideon Falls is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's on my top 10 again this year. Yeah. It is.
For sure.
I was a little less enthused about the ending, partly because it was an oversized issue and I had to like read it kind of fast. the comic reminds me of The Dark Tower in a lot of ways, where like it starts off kind of slow and there's this like very small setting, and then it just immediately gets huge. You're like, holy shit. And then it goes to this place and the ending's like, it's fine. I don't hate it. It works. I understand why they ended it the way they ended it. I'm just not like in love with it. But the journey is so good, and I think because the ending isn't bad, it's absolutely worth reading and enjoying. Once again, going back to the artwork, it's fucking fantastic. Oh my God. I love the black and red theme so hard. It is gorgeous. I like the lettering is fantastic. Like, literally everything about the production of this is fantastic.
They really push the boundaries of what you can do with the medium of comic books.
Yeah.
Andrea Sorrentino is so good at that.
It's not quite fair to say that like Sorrentino took over from what Wes Craig was doing in Deadly Class, because they were running at the same time and good at the same time. But it does feel like, in terms of like standout art and just making like the way that you can create a story through visuals that isn't just, you know, 9-panel grids or like whatever you see it in the big two, and it's so good. The main thing is, yeah, like the ending. I liked it, I think, more than at least Chad and Chad did. But I think the main thing is that it doesn't invalidate the journey. It's just done now. And it is a weird thing to have Gideon Falls done, as much as it's like, hey, it's cool to be done in 25 issues.
Cool. I strongly considered putting the goddamn Virgin Brides on my list. But because there is a lot of it that really resonated with me. But I feel like this, and this is the conversation we've perpetually had about this, you know, new goddamned content, is that it does not toe the line as well as the first series did in terms of its edginess.
I think this one toes the line better.
Oh, really? Okay.
I feel like this one has a better grasp of where the line is and where it wants to be.
Whereas the first one felt
like it had to toe the line, and this one wants to jump over it.
Right. Maybe I'm with you there. I also like it a lot less, still like it less as a result, I think, overall, even though I think the highs are much higher. I don't know where you're at on it, Chad. I don't know that Emily or Alex are really...
I read it.
No.
Yeah, I know you read it, but I don't know that you guys are like really into this book in the way that like, you know... Chad and I actually did enjoy it.
It made my list, but it made it as the 10th spot, and it was the one where I was like, if there's a better book I can think of, I will remove it.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot here that I do think is fun. I'm enjoying just the fucked up nature to it, but you can remove it because I'm not really going to like bat super hard for it.
Yeah, and
there's definitely 10 better comics.
Yeah, and as even as someone who does like it, like I love the relationship with the main two characters, I think... The rest of it sort of really does drag it down, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is actually we're going a little bit out of alphabetical order because the book is technically called Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen, but I just wrote down Jimmy Olsen. Alex, I have bad news for you.
Didn't read it. I was going to message you today.
No,
you don't like it.
No, it's worse.
That's even worse. Yeah. Oh my Lord.
I tried reading it, and I found it incoherent and messy.
Oh, man. Wow.
And I don't know if it gets better. And not even, like, in a way that is, like, quirky and fun in the way that, like, a lot of Matt Fraction stuff is. But I just, like, it just felt like a chore. And I didn't finish it. But it felt like a chore to get through the first few, at least some of the issues.
That's very
saddening. I know. I was upset about it, too. But where are you at on it?
Well, I mean, I've been talking about Jimmy Olsen for, I think, on and off on random episodes this year. It was on my list last year. This is my number two book. Is just like it is interesting because it does tell like the chronology of it doesn't really make sense until the end, but it's just such a weird book, and it's sort of what Grant Morrison did with Batman, where he's like, you know, everything that ever happened to Batman is now it happened, like, and what physical toll that takes on someone. Except Jimmy Olsen history isn't so much like things that take a toll on you, it's that he's like batshit insane. And he's, like, doing shit like, I'm going to steal the Batman's tire, and I'm going to fill this diner with Joker's actors until the Batman gets here, and I'm going to, like, you know, attack Lex Luthor with shit. And it's just, it's wild, and it's such a love letter to, like, 60s comics, and the comedy really hits for me, too. So I really like Jimmy Olsen, but I am definitely the only champion for it, so...
Well, but I think it's one of those things that, like, you really like it, so I think maybe we keep it for now.
Sounds good.
Unless you feel comfortable removing it, I don't know.
I'd rather let it go later, softly, you know?
Okay. Sounds good. So we just referenced Kill Lock a couple minutes ago, which is a book that Chad said he was going to go to bat for.
Chad? It's got the robot that swears.
It's time to go to bat for Kill Lock. Yeah, it has the robot what swears. Yeah, it does have the robot that swears.
Batman who laughs, robot who swears?
I liked Kill Lock. I liked Kill Lock a lot.
Same.
Me too.
Emily, did you ever end up reading this or?
No, I can't. I even got like the first issue, but I just never got around to it.
Yeah, this is a book that like the more that I think about it, the more that I like it too. Just because there's so much in there that like. It's like this very like a lot of the world building feels for the most part like a sideshow, but every time it comes up, I just want to know more about it. Like I want to read the lore book that is associated with Kill Lock because there are all these like really, and I think it's better that like it exists in the way it does because there's all these like really cool hints and teases of a much broader world. And every time they do that, there's like some really compelling stuff in there. And I think the book, as a result, ends up being really strong. So
it writes really good flawed characters.
Yeah,
like that's they're all extremely interesting in very unique ways to the world. And like a good representation of like basically the different classes that exist in any world, right? You have a fucking super elite guy. You have the warrior guy who's in the army, goes and kills people. You have the working class guy, you have basically the poor kid. And so there's a lot of really neat dynamics there that this brings in where it's like, hey, you have these four extremely different characters and they are forced to be around each other and not kill each other.
Yeah.
Otherwise they'll all die. And how do they deal with life now and people trying to kill them? And it's just a really just kind of fun, tense story.
It's a really good D&D campaign concept thing. And I don't know if it'd be fun to run, but it's a lot of fun to read, and the characters are really cool. And this one, it's on my top 10. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Feel like it's sticking around. Killadelphia, I really wanted to like this book, but I feel like the fact that I didn't read it after we did the book club, like that I think it was like 2 weeks after the book club, a new issue came out, and I had no motivation to read it. Is pretty telling about how I ended up feeling about Killadelphia, which is
Sag.
It's cool, but I don't know. Yeah, I think we made the right choice cutting it. Lost Soldiers.
So many good ideas, and then I feel like once it pulled away from the past stuff in Vietnam, it focused too much more on the cop stuff and the drug cartel stuff, like, it just got a bit less interesting.
Yeah.
And so while I enjoyed my time with this, I'm not in love with it by any means.
I think the most recent issue was fantastic, and I love the direction that it goes in. But I think it's too inconsistent to be on this list, even though, like, it's left, like, a really good taste in my mouth. And, like, yeah, I don't know that it's consistent enough. Emily, Alex, any parting words for...
Agreed.
Lost Soldiers?
Okay. No.
Cool. No. All right.
No parting words.
Okay. Lola Woods, I think I'm the only person who read this book. And I think that, like, it's on my list, but it's low enough on my list that I'm okay with it going. I just want to say this is a really fantastic, like, rural fantasy, like, coming of age story, about, a town with a bunch of, like, weird magic stuff going on. I thought the two main characters were really compelling, had a great relationship, but, for as much as I loved it, I can see it leaving since I no one else even read it, I think. So, I'm not gonna...
I mean, if you liked it enough, but you said it was low on your list?
I did, but it's like, I don't know exactly where... I don't know exactly where it's gonna end up on my list. It just feels like a book that, like, it's a dead end to, like, defend it too much because it like, I'm the only supporter for it, and even I'm gonna be like... Even I will probably be like, yeah, I mean, there's, like, probably 8 or 9 better books, and, like,
right.
You know, people are going to make cases for, like, the things that they liked individually that, like, maybe some of us didn't like or didn't read. And, like, this isn't a book that, like, you guys didn't read and I want to defend really passionately, like, I guess, like, Miles Morales has been in past years. Yep. You know, so I'm okay with seeing it go, with taking it off. Getting It Together, how do we feel about Getting It Together on the end of the year list for this year?
I like Getting Luke It Warren. Together.
Yeah, I would like to get it together, personally. yeah, someone highlighted it in yellow, and I feel like that's accurate, because I like it a lot, but I don't even know what it is. Like, it.
I feel like this story would read better as, like, a complete graphic novel rather right. than, like,
not issues enough happens
that we are reading as it comes out.
The character stuff's good, but I feel like, yeah, it's like you read an issue and sometimes it's like, well, not enough happened plot-wise, but really good character stuff, which is good enough to maybe be on this list, but not to get its true potential across.
Did you guys read because I think there was an issue that came out this week.
Did you guys finish it? No, because...
Did the intern finish it?
That issue came out. The intern didn't finish it either. Okay. I could ask the intern if she liked it or not. But no, I didn't read it explicitly because I didn't want it to impact my, because it came out in 2021 and not 2020. Oh, true. And I didn't want it to impact my judgment of it. But yeah, exactly. You know, but, did you finish it, Chad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I didn't particularly care for it. It feels like it should keep going, but it says the end, and I think it actually is the end.
Oh, that sucks. Oh. I thought this book was going to run a lot longer than 5 issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how the pacing
works. I guess they never got it
there.
So.
Okay.
Well, then.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it can go. I don't know.
That's a little disappointing.
We can keep it here for now, but
it is a little disappointing because I do like Getting It Together a lot.
And it's unfortunate because we probably won't talk about it next year since it only got one issue.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. We're about to see about Mercy.
Yes.
Which was this year's Mirka Andolfo book, which I think, you know, judging by the fact that we all finished it, is definitely a step above some of, you know, Unnatural.
I think I finished
Unnatural. But was it enough steps up to put it on the list?
Maybe 2021 will be the year where she releases a great package. And I love her artwork. I love her ideas. Her dialogue's fine. Like, she does good things. It's always one thing too much, where it's like you need to trim your scope down to fit the narrative. You know the page space you have. There's always just a little too much, and it's muddy and it's confusing.
Yeah.
I have such high hopes for her. Like, I love her style so much. She's going to do it this year, guys. I have a good feeling.
Well, and Mercy is fantastic. Like, Mercy is genuinely really, really good. That's the thing. It's just like, when you ask, when I ask myself, like, is it a top 10 book? And for a while, I was like, yeah, this is a top 10 book. This is a top 10 book. And then I sat down to write my top 10, and I'm like, maybe it's not. and I think that's where I settled.
Yeah, it's definitely a better output by her, and her art is so good, and her ideas are sometimes really good. So it's, yeah. But wait, is this a most improved?
No. What? No.
Then who's the? Okay, never mind.
Is this a most improved scenario?
Yeah.
Mercandolfo and Natural to Mercy.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I don't think it's kind of weird to say because the Natural started strong, I think. So.
Yeah, but it sucked.
It's like almost like a most improved, but she like reverted back to her original self. So it's like, is it really improved or is it a cycle of whatever?
Anyway, Middle West. Emily, remind me if you've read this.
No, I have not read Middle West.
So Alex and Chad, I think this one's all you. Like how strongly you feel about Middle West did this year.
Yeah.
Middle West had a good year in 2020. I feel like some of the best issues of that comic came out in 2020. The ending was a bit messy. There was a lot going on. I think it needed another couple pages to really get the clarity across on like who was fighting who and why and some of that stuff, but the artwork to the ending was really good. It was neat seeing Scotty Young do something fairly serious instead of like his I Hate Fairyland or Deadpool shtick. I really like the journey that I went on with Middle West. And the only reason it's not on my top 10 this year is because it was on my top 10 last year.
I can't believe I put Middle West on my list. I'm still imposing that rule. And Chad didn't put Middle West on his list. That's a... Oof. Oof, oof, oof. Yeah, I really liked the book this year. And the messy ending kind of fits with like the series because it was like a... I don't remember if the start was really good, if the start was kind of bad, if the first five were bad. But then it really picked up, and this year was a good year. A really good ending for Middle West, I thought. But I think because I is the only one who had on my list, and you were kind of like, I liked it, but not that much. We could do it yellow right now, or we could just take it off. I don't know.
I think it'll go. It's just we've already have so many books we have in green that... Anything in yellow is pretty fucked.
That's the thing is, like, I kind of thought that it would end up on the list, even though, like, I actively, like, don't really like it. But looking at the number of books we already have in green, I'm like, I don't know if that sticks around. Similarly, I don't know that Miles... I got Miles Morales on this list last year, and it was, like, basically more of the same this year, which is to say, I really enjoyed it, but I feel like it doesn't have the same, you know, it's not new anymore. It doesn't have the same flair. And so as much as I still really like it and like read it every time it comes out, I like don't really talk about it on the show, but I would recommend it to people. People should read Miles Morales Spider-Man. It's the best Marvel book coming out by a lot. It's not even really that close. but we can go ahead and we can, I think, go ahead and take it off just because, again, like just looking at what's in green here.
So
I
it didn't, I'm gonna... it didn't reach new highs in 2020, but it was.
Yeah, that's the thing, like it was consistent, but it's not, you know, it didn't get any better or worse, and that's a good thing because it was.
That's
really
the problem
good,
when you're but... a good book, yeah.
Yeah. So next up is Old Guard Force Multiplied, which is the sequel, I guess, to The Old Guard, which, God, if this book had come out, you know. In the last 5 months rather than between December of last year and July of this year, I feel like I would be making a much better case for it a much stronger case for it because I think it's fantastic. Like I can still like, there's like that moment where the new character and the character that they dug up from the sea are like have that conversation on the park bench. And I just remember that being like such an amazing bit of dialogue. But that's like, and it is telling that like that has stuck with me for months. But I feel like, but I don't know. Like I mean, maybe you guys feel slightly differently. But I feel like this maybe doesn't make it.
My issue with Old Guard isn't that it's bad; it's that I don't remember it because I haven't reread it, and it came out in the front half.
And I feel bad because if I had reread it, I might be sitting here being like,
the things I remember are really good though, and I might swap it out for Goddamn, just because I have a feeling this is a much better book than Goddamn. Yeah. It's one of those things, right? The one has the memorability because I read it like last month, and also the shock value,
right?
Whereas.
Yeah.
But it, you know, shock value is a two-edged street, or a two-edged sword.
Two-edged street.
Yeah. It's a two-edged
Don't
street.
Don't go walking there, folks.
I'm dumb. God damn it. Keep it in yellow. We'll come back to it.
Yeah. On the stump, Not a lot.
I thought this book was dumb.
See, it was. It's a book where instead of like debating, Congress and the Senate, you know, decide on legislation by having wrestling matches. It has no right to be good, and yet it is, but not like, but not top 10 good. It doesn't, it's like, it's actually, I think like by the time the most recent issue rolled around, which I think was issue 5, I was getting the same vibes as Bliss, where I'm like, man, this book has some really good ideas. And if the execution was there, absolutely. The execution's just not there, unfortunately. Or it's there occasionally, and you see glimmers of it, and you're like, yes, this is cool, this is good, I like this. But not consistently enough to really... To feel like I want to see it on a top 10 list. Especially because it's like, it's not on mine. I feel like I'm the only person who stuck with this past issue 2. So I'm totally like, this should not be, this probably shouldn't be on our list.
So Pretty Deadly the Rat, I'm going to make a really compelling argument on why we should remove this. And it's because one issue came out in 2020 and that was in January.
Oh.
And despite this was like a really high comic on my 2019 list.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I bought the trade. But one issue came out and I just feel like
I feel like you say it's not quite enough is going to be pretty weird when we try to when we get to a certain comic in a couple minutes.
Well, Sonic, you know, Sonic had a do good as I issue, say not though. As I do.
Sonic was like, "Oh my god."
But I actually agree with you. I for some reason thought that like there was more of that that came out this year.
I think we talked about this on our last show last year, where we're like, "Oh,
it's it made our list issue. Last year."
We're gonna talk about it this year though, because only one next year.
No, I think it made our list.
No,
last
it did.
Year.
Yeah, no, but like we were like, it has one more issue, but it's like we're gonna talk about it this year.
Cause okay, cool. More, yeah. I was gonna say if that didn't make our list last year, I would kind of want to put it on our list this year, just because like it deserves to be on one of our lists, but. Yeah, I did make our list last year, so I'm okay with it.
You know what we
it.
Should do, and this is, of course, future thing, but once we get 5 years worth of top 10 lists, we should make a super top 10 list. We should just, like, force ourselves to choose between, like, our favorite things. Yeah. So, anyway.
You know what else we should do?
I
we
like
should
that horrible idea. Awesome. Very much. Gotcha. Just write that down. Speaking of,
we should,
let's
you know,
remove Rat Queen.
Yeah, let's but get why? That shit off here.
Because that
okay,
book sucks.
Redneck. Sorry, go ahead. Are you still reading Rat Queens? Are you at a point where you're like, okay.
No. Right. Okay. I say no, like, that's obvious, but I read, like, most of the issues that came out this season.
You read
so
many issues of Rat Queens, Chad.
It's like me asking Chad myself. If he's still strangling kittens. He's like, no. And, like, 2 months ago, he was, like, strangling, like, 8 kittens, and I'm like, all right, man, that's fine.
Interesting
well,
analogy,
that got dark.
Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Anyway.
I don't think
why,
that's
why strangling kittens? Why not choking the
but
chicken?
Redneck. was a book that had a bit of a revitalization in the year 2020.
Dude, that silent issue is a fucking banger. It is so fantastic. Lisandro Esterin is, like, his art has always been good. Like, it's really moody. But that was, like, an even, like, more absurd testament to how good of a storyteller he is. Was drawing that issue, and that's like that is like the standout issue for this year, at least it is for me. And I think this book is still had ups and downs this year, but I think overall it had like it is close like on average it skews more towards the quality of that issue than to like the quality of the issue that came 2 issues later that is just like a big exposition dump.
I was gonna say the sour taste in my mouth for Redneck as the newest issue was really not good, and it's the one I remember the most because I just read it.
See, it's not, but for me, it's not the one I remember the most. For me, it's the backstory issue about the first vampire.
Was Redneck
this
bad,
is my number
bad
10
last
spot.
Year? Like near the end of last year?
Yes, or Redneck was
bad at the beginning of this year.
No, too? Redneck started getting good at the end of last. Okay. Good again at the end of last year. It was like after the wedding. And after they figured out what they wanted to do with the characters who had just been like milling around with nothing, with no direction. Yep. And after the, what's the name of the guy who went to prison?
Oh.
After they did the arc with him as the villain it started getting evil. It started getting really, really good again. They went down to like that town in Mexico with the other vampires, and they did a lot more with like obviously the history, but also with like the leadership and like the sort of like underground network of vampires that exists. I don't know. Like I thought this like concerns about maybe the most recent issue and like one or two other issues this year. To me are like less important because I think this book had a really good year.
It did, yeah.
And I think Donny Cates and Lysandra Sarin really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Put it in green.
Scarin Hood I think can go realistically.
Look, I like Scarin Hood, but it's not
me too.
It's not best of the year.
Yeah. Maybe someday. Are we putting Stock Girl in green?
Yes.
I mean it is the best issue of the year, so
only Snot one issue
Girl
came
put
out,
and one issue, and it's better than everything else on this fucking list.
I don't know if I would go that far,
but
if you can read
you know
every
I mean.
Comic,
yeah, I know
on our
mean.
List, or if you can read one issue of Snot Girl, take the one issue of Snot Girl, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but to be fair, at one point this list had Dark Knight's Death Metal on it, so I think that that's
you're right.
There were some
you know.
Mistakes.
That
on this
does
list.
That does get rid of a bit of the goodwill of this list, but
yeah, yeah. What are we doing with Sonic, guys?
It's got to go fast.
Removing it.
It does got to go fast. I think we're gonna do the same with Stillwater.
It's got to go fast.
I think that's gonna do the same with Stillwater, which is another book that like has a some good ideas and bad execution.
Yeah.
I don't hate Stillwater, but I don't...
Me neither.
...like the main character, which is a pretty big knock against the comic.
He's such a douche.
Yeah, he sucks.
And not even douche in, like, a fun way.
No, he's just a douche in, like, a, oh, I've met people like that in college.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to flaunt you into college, Chad.
Not a fan.
Gosh. Some of us
everyone on
do
the
a
show
podcast
has a
for
degree.
A living. Not me, I wish, wow. But, yeah.
Alex, I think this next one is a me and you.
Suicide Squad.
Me and you going down with the ship.
I think we're going down with this ship, because I quite like Suicide Squad. And I tried. Thank you, Chad, for trying. You pulled a Jean-Luc with Jimmy Olsen, which I appreciate. But this was a book that I read the first, I think, four issues, and I liked it. And then I stopped reading it, and then Jean-Luc was like, oh, I'm going to read this. And then he started reading it, and then he read it. He finished it before I did, and then I went back and read it, and I really liked it.
Dude, this book starts off so bad, and then it gets, like, okay. Just when I thought that this book was done with its, like, setup twists, it did one more that made the book work for me, which is the one that happens in issue 3, where the new characters, the Freedom Fighters or whatever they call themselves, are like... It's like they're doing an op the whole time to like infiltrate the Suicide Squad. And I'm like, okay, hell yeah, let's fucking go.
Because, I rolled my eyes real hard.
Oh,
at that.
I loved that, dude. I ate that shit up. Because and I think part of it is because like, and I say the first few issues sucked, but those characters made such a strong impression on me. And then as the series went on, just continued to be increasingly compelling and made Suicide Squad into something that was. You know, honestly, way outsizes what this franchise has been in the past, where it's not just like, you know, this is like the edgy book with Deadshot and Harley Quinn.
And it puts them front and center. It does put the Freedom Fighters in, but it does new things with flipping Harley Quinn and Deadshot. Like, there's stakes.
You know how the whole time in every Suicide Squad book, Deadshot's like constantly sad about his daughter? Well, what if there was a Suicide Squad comic where his daughter was actually fucking in it? And this book takes what should not be a revolutionary idea, but does it, and it's like, oh, okay, this is actually really fucking good because it feels like there are actual stakes to this relationship that he has. And it makes Deadshot into a really compelling character that later on in the series has this series, this like sequence of really fantastic moments with his daughter and with their relationship that like, it's embarrassing to say this about a DC comic, but there was a moment where it like sort of moved me to tears and I had a little tear in my eye because of how, the relationship that Deadshot has with his daughter and how much he loves his daughter and how much she admires him despite, the things that he's done and how they everybody, you know, and how his new teammates, despite, you know, starting off thinking that he's a really just bad dude, like, they see that he has good in him, and it's like the end of Return of the Jedi, and they all just really, they want the best for him. They're like, he's like this idiot old man who shoots what shoot good, and they're like these like young leftist freedom fighters, and they're like, and they're just like, yeah, they just want the best for him. It's so good. I love the relationship that builds between those characters. The Harley Quinn stuff is whatever. Fuck Harley Quinn. I don't know, man. This book like really struck a chord with me in a weird way. Like, I would rarely expect a DC book to do, and much less expect a Suicide Squad.
Tom Taylor, good writer.
He is. He does a good job. I don't know. I want to keep it, but
we can highlight it in yellow then. Like, I read the first four issues and dropped it because I was like, I'm pretty sure I have better things to do today.
We should have given it to Jimmy Olsen. Oh, it was a mistake.
Assemble Warhammer stuff.
Wrong book.
One of my issues with this, I did not really care for the artwork. I feel like Harley was drawn really weird and Deadshot were drawn really weird. I liked all the new characters. They had a really like fun, vibrant color scheme, and they looked youthful and neat and pretty. And then it's like all the old people were just like, it's like, come on, I'm probably closer to that person's age. Like, a fucking bone here.
They're all so hot.
I'm sorry, I'm not the pretty, you know, freedom fighter with the wings.
King Shark,
though? More the tired old man with the gun, but, you know.
Yeah, but that's the point. It's about, like, you know, those two from, like, totally different worlds and generations, like...
I know, coming together and realizing.
The good news is that they're doing a Freedom Fighter series, so it's focusing on all the good characters. You don't have to have Harley Quinn. You also don't have to have Deadshot, so...
Hell of a jawline.
But I want to have Deadshot as, like, the idiot but lovable dad of the group.
But he's not doing too well after this comic, so...
It felt very coincidental, like, oh, we saved this person, and someone's like, hi, Mom, I saved you, and it's like, seriously? And there was at least one other moment where that happened, and I'm just like,
I think it was the boomerang moment, right?
It was the boomerang thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, Captain Boomerang. He's like a classic Suicide Squad character.
He killed my wife, I could kill by a boomerang. That's funny.
Because me and John have read a lot. I mean, okay, to be fair, Chad, you have read a lot of shitty DC comics, and I will not take that away from you because you've suffered. But, just, like, me and Jean-Luc have read more shitty Suicide Squad comics, and so this one, like, doing the stuff it does, and it's like, wait, Suicide Squad comic? Be not bad? Huh? It's a strange world.
Yeah. It is a strange world. It's the strange world of That Texas Blood, the next book that we must discuss.
The segue.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like this book. And I feel like it belongs on the list.
Okay. Yeah,
I love it, but I respect what it did.
I feel like the more this swims around with me, the more I'm in the Chad camp here. But, like, at the same time, there's so much I love about this book. I don't know.
Half the dialogue boxes should be removed and it would be better.
Every comic.
You say that about every comic you read.
It's always true.
What was that tweet? Was it by Cena Grace? Talking about like how many words should be in a text bubble or whatever. It's like between like, I don't know, eight to like 15 words or 8 to 13 words. And then some of the writers were like, that's way too small. You don't need more words in your text bubbles. And he's like, chill, guys.
If you're not doing at least 40 words in your text bubble, what's wrong with
Scotty
you?
Scotty Snyder.
I feel like That Texas Blood should stay for now, at least. I feel like this book is like, we've been on such a journey with this book this year too. I feel like it, I don't know. The one thing I will say is that like, it didn't end up making it on my list, but I don't know. Alex, do you have anything? Or Emily, do you have anything else about That Texas Blood?
I mean, like, I put it on my list because I just felt like it very expertly crafted a mood and, like, an aesthetic, and it stuck to that for the whole book, and I really enjoyed reading it, and it sort of, like, it always managed to kind of suck me into its world. I was trying to come up with an adjective there, but I enjoyed it. I feel like it belongs on the list.
Yeah. Well, it's a compelling case, and I don't disagree with any of it either. Cool. And now we are left with one last comic book, and it is Wonder Woman Dead Earth. My God.
Daniel Warren Flippin' Johnson.
Daniel Warren Johnson, everybody. He's shit.
Written two comics in a row that are good, guys. I don't know. Three.
Dude, that issue where Wonder Woman fights Superman, there's a panel in it where Superman realizes that they, like, after Superman realizes that the humans have, like, launched nukes to destroy Themyscira, and there's that moment where he, like, goes to, like, one of the nuclear, like, launch sites and, like, busts a hole in the wall, and there's that, you see his face, and it's like he's just totally crestfallen.
What have you done?
And he's like, what have you done? And it's just like, it gives it, oh my God, there's so many moments like that throughout the course of that series that just gave me those kinds of chills. And it, like, with a bunch of different characters too. And I don't know. This is really high on my list. It is a fantastic comic. Emily, did you end up getting to it, or?
I read the first issue, and I meant to read the rest of them, and I didn't. But I liked the first issue, and you guys have... I know Alex has been raving about this book literally all year, so, yeah. Like, 24/7. It probably belongs on the list.
Chatty.
It's in my top five.
Yeah, me too. So we're left with, by my count, 17 books. Adventure Man, Ascender, Blue and Green, Coffin Bound, Department of Truth, Die, Excellence, Family Tree, Gideon Falls, Jimmy Olsen, Kill Lock, Getting It Together, Old Guard Force Multiplied, Redneck, Snot Girl, Suicide Squad, That Texas Blood, and Wonder Woman Dead Earth. And there was a point where of this year where I thought it was like a weak year for comics, but these are going to be some of the hardest cuts I think we've had to make at this point.
I think it's because, like, in a normal year, you get a lot of garbage, and there was plenty of garbage that came out this year, but, like, because less comics came out, it's harder to cut through the ones that were actually good.
Yeah, but I feel like all of these are, like, really, really good books. Or at least they're books with, like, one or two exceptions that I really, really liked. So I don't know, does anyone want to get us started? Like, what do we think can go here?
I want to say slash everything in yellow.
I would say slash everything but Suicide Squad, but that's a bit...
I don't want to cut Suicide biased, so. Squad.
Because I think Adventure Man was a book that we're like, hey...
I think Adventure Man...
Be better 2021 book, awesome. Getting It Together, it's unfortunate it only has one issue left. Maybe it was good, but maybe didn't... Like, it's good, but...
Yeah, I think Adventure Man can go. I think as the first book, it was like, yeah, we shouldn't cut this because it might make the list. And now seeing what we have left.
We were naive an hour and 19 minutes
at
ago.
At least we have more than 10 books that are better than that. Getting It Together, I think I feel kind of similarly about. Like, I don't know. Does anybody here really want to see this on our list?
Amongst everything else, I feel like it kind of pales.
I don't think it hangs in terms of, like, deliverables, like, in terms of, like, issues. Like, it's been good, but I don't think it's hit the highs of these other series in terms of, like, consistency. And the fact that there's one issue left has me a bit confused.
And the other thing is, the other thing is that, like, every one of these, there's an issue that I can point to as, like, yes, that is one of the best issues of the year. And Getting It Together doesn't really have that, if that makes sense. Which, you know, is partially because it will probably just read better, you know, as one story. But, you know, when you read things monthly, it does factor in. Old Guard, I feel like we're doing this one a disservice, but it's just like, I'm with Chad, though. Like, it's just...
Brain no remember.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but...
It sucks!
dims the brakes with comics, right? It was even worse this year because of COVID and like the supply chain and the release schedule got totally fucked up.
There were like 2 or 3 months where there were like no new comics and everything. Yeah, things were delayed and
some asshole made me raid second stage Turbine Blade.
I wonder who did that. Wait. We got a last minute entry to this list. Good Apollo, I'm burning Star 4, Volume 1, From Fear Through the Eyes of Madness. Let's go.
What kind of sentence was that?
Best comic of 2020.
It was a title.
That was a title, not a sentence.
That's bad SEO, guys. That's bad SEO. All right, which leaves us with...
We have to make five cuts. We've got Ascender, Blue and Green, Coffin Bound, Department of Truth, Die, Excellence, Family Tree, Gideon Falls, Jimmy Olsen, Killlock, Rednecks, Not Girl, Suicide Squad, That Texas Blood, Wonder Woman, Dead Earth.
This is blasphemy, but I think Family Tree being the weakest Jeff Lemire book, I think I would be okay cutting it. I know that's sacrilegious to say, but...
The thing for me is, like, I would cut Jimmy Olsen before I would cut Family Tree, but I know how much you like Jimmy Olsen, and knowing that makes me want it on the list.
It's like,
but like looking at these books, like for me, like I think I'm with you. I think Family Tree is the weakest. Like if we're gonna start somewhere, I feel like that's the place to start. I don't know.
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that?
Yeah.
Emily, you're fine with that?
It's a sad day to see a Jeff Lemire book get off the list, but I guess I think Family Tree.
Can do more than what it's shown us so far, and it's been good, but it hasn't been exceptional in my opinion. It's been very good though.
Yeah, sad to see it go. Where are people, like, does anyone have any other what's the next proposed cut?
So my
here?
Question is, no, Coffee Pound is so good this year. I was gonna say let's not do it because we had it last year, but honestly, like that one is it was
dude,
so good.
I don't want to cut that book.
Plus, the Coffin Bound of this year is a distinct comic from Coffin Bound of last year.
I mean, it keeps the numbering, but it is like a new story. Yeah.
Yeah, I just mean, like, I feel like saying that you put it on the list last year isn't exactly fair because it's sort of become, like, a different thing this year. It's not just sort of.
Chad, what do you want to cut?
I mean, I want to cut Suicide Squad.
Jean,
I think Alex,
if you had to choose, and not saying you have to choose, but if you had to choose between Wonder Woman, Dead Earth, and Suicide Squad, would you keep Dead Earth or would you keep Suicide Squad?
Well, you know my answer to that question.
Okay,
I would keep Wonder Woman, Dead Earth. Obviously it's a much better comic. There's a part of me that is, like, okay with cutting Suicide Squad. I get it. But there's also a part of me that wants to reward a big two comic that is, like, a monthly ongoing and not a miniseries that actually is good and, like, uses and finds ways to, like, tell good stories in the confines of that.
So I really like...
Give it an honorable mention.
Number 11. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we got to do, like, the backhanded best DC comic category.
In there. Okay, so I honestly, Jimmy Olsen, I looked at my list, actually my number one, but it was on the list last year, too, and I was really happy to have it on the list last year when it was 6 issues in. It's a book I really like, but I am fine if we cut it at the same time. It's like, okay, I know I like it, but I think if we're looking at, like, the overall comics podcast thing, I think it's fine if Jimmy Olsen's not there. Mostly because, like, if Jean-Luc hadn't read it, I'd probably be more, stand by it more. But, you know, you gave it a chance, you didn't like it, so I'm sort of like, well, I really, really enjoyed this comic, but I don't think, like, in terms of what I see here, it's like, I can see it going.
We had to make a cut for Excellence.
Oh, God.
I feel like
if we're gonna reach some kind of consensus, we're gonna have to end up cutting Suicide Squad. I think that there are just, like, so many books. There are, like, of the books on here, like, as much as I like that one, there are a number of other books on here that multiple people will just, like, will not
accept
not being
cut,
on the list.
I'm personally down to cut Redneck. Because the first year we had it was so good, we loved it, it was, like, definitely in there. Second year wasn't great. This was a comeback year too, but it did have a couple bad issues in there too. it's a series I'm still excited about, but we've also, I feel like it's a book we've given acclaim to before, and I don't think that this was the best year for Redneck overall.
Yeah.
It's also hard to recommend Redneck when it has a full arc that is not good, and you have to get through that to get to the good issues again.
But those issues are so good. They're worth.
I know, it's hard. I know, it's really hard. To my top 10. I got rid of the, goddamn. And I was like, you know what? Redneck was better than that this year.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
But I also, I don't know, man. That exposition issue, like,
God, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Donnie Cates has the ability to write a bad comic.
Crossover.
And there's a certain level of that.
Yeah. I think I'm okay with that.
So why don't we start locking in, like, the ones that not a chance in hell we're cutting from the top 10? And maybe we can go in order, but I want to start with Wonder Woman Dead Earth, because I think that is
oh, yeah. If anyone tries to cut Wonder Woman Dead Earth, I will come to your house.
Oh, please. Oh, that's nice.
If anyone tries to cut Wonder Woman Dead Earth, John Luke will cut them.
Yes, he
you
will.
You know, on one hand, John Luke coming to my house, that's cool. I could probably survive a cut. Like, maybe we cut it.
Yeah,
maybe
you know,
depends on where the cut is.
Just do a quick cut up, do a quick nick of the finger.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do I want to go in order?
I feel like we can go in order, but like I feel like for this it behooves us to just be like, Saw Girl's on the list.
Yeah. Okay, that's John Luke's choice.
Yeah.
Sorry, John.
I'm just saying, like, there's no shot in hell we're cutting the wedding issue of Snot Girl from this list, man. There's no way.
You will pry it from my dead gay hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Blue and Green should make this.
I think
feel
so,
like
too.
That one was super
it's really
worth
good.
Reading.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I agree. I don't want to cut that one. Department of Truth has to be.
It's not your turn, Jean.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't. You
oh, sorry.
You can't
oh, sorry.
Department
we're going in turn. Okay, we're
not,
okay.
Not on the list now. It's not going to happen. No.
Okay. Sorry. Well, Alex, do you want to say one now?
I think it's Emily's
turn. You.
And I think she said yeah to Department of Truth, so now it's on the list.
Department of Truth.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I was kidding. A lot of good books. Does Gideon Falls not make it in the year that it finished?
No. Come on, we can't do that.
I want to be like 3 years for 3 years for giving Gideon Falls a blowjob. Right.
Yeah, I think we should. I think that is appropriate.
All right.
So we maybe have a top five here. Well, Coffinbound
sounds good.
See, I think Coffinbound is a top five book.
Yeah, I feel like Coffinbound has to be on the must-have
right.
List.
Okay, with these ones left,
I think Die. I think
does
before you do that.
You think Die?
I think Die has to be on the must-have. I mean, maybe I'm. Maybe you guys just someone disagrees.
Okay.
No, Die.
I also agree that the rest of these, there is some discussion. And I mean, not to say they're bad books. They're very good books. But I think this is a.
We are at the point where every comic we're talking about is unconditionally
so,
like one of the best.
Here's
books
the situation: there are five books left, and there are three open slots. There are. Four of us, so not everybody's going to be able to be like, yo, this book's on the list. So, Does anybody feel very strongly about a book here that they're like, I just really want to have it on the list?
I want Kill Lock simply because it's not an Image book, and I feel like our list always is like, here's nine Image books and then like one DC book. And it's like, oh, but what if we put an IDW book on
hey,
there?
We had a Marvel book on there
fun.
Last year.
We did.
Yeah. We should see what's up with that.
I really like Kill Lock too. I think it was the art was really cool. The story was really cool. And it was a nice short mini series. What, six issues, five issues went in there. Of this
five,
list,
yeah.
I think I feel it's the strongest. Ascender and Excellence and Suicide Squad. Okay. Well, I didn't read the list. But no, I think Kill Lock is a top 10.
Robot swears.
Yeah.
A lot.
He does swear a lot.
I'm a simple person.
All right, we have
so,
one spot left.
Two.
We have two. No, two. We have two.
Oh, two spots left. I can't count.
So of Ascender, Excellent, Suicide Squad, and That Texas Blood. I feel like I know the answer to this, but is there anybody who is like who feels like That Texas Blood must absolutely be on this list?
No.
I want are it, you sure?
I want it to are
you,
be.
Because, like...
But, like...
Yeah, because, like, you don't have... Like, if you're... If, I mean, I'm just proposing it.
No,
like,
here's
if
the
you,
thing, is I do want it to be, but part of the problem is I can't speak definitively about the other three titles because
well, that
I
doesn't,
am
I,
not as
yeah, but
familiar.
Yeah, I think that doesn't so much matter, though. I think it's, like, I think probably, like, you liking something a lot, like, probably matters more than, like, whether you can compare it to other things relationally. At least to me, I don't know.
Well, just, I feel like it's harder for me to have an opinion about the last four books if I've only, like, if I only really know one of them, basically. But,
yeah.
Chad,
that's,
what were you going to ask?
Well, I'm thinking, did we... I think we had Ascender on our list last year, and while Ascender had a really good year, we have Jeff Lemire representation.
This is sacrilegious.
Do
is,
we need to?
This is sacrilegious.
And that might be an easy one to get rid of,
yeah.
Because...
Hey, so you want to know something?
What's up?
Hmm.
We cut Ascender last year.
Oh no!
You know we got to, and I remember this. Now that I'm looking at our list from last year, I remember we got to this point, and we cut Ascender because we were like, it's the lesser Jeff Lemire book. There are other things we
that,
want.
Is that
on
different
this
year? I mean, it's not Gideon Falls.
I don't know that it is. I don't know that it
it's
is.
It's really good, but I think it's the one that we're like, it's good, but did it connect to us at the high level that these other three books did? At least on an individual basis, I don't think it did.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, right? It's like I think we all like but I don't know. Like,
I'm willing to rip the Band-Aid off for the sake of brevity.
I'm okay with it. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, brevity.
Oh, we are past brevity.
This is why I didn't want to edit this episode.
I feel like at this point, maybe I don't know. I really want to see Suicide Squad on this list.
Me too.
Fine, add Suicide Squad. I can take the number fucking 10 spot.
But, like, I don't know.
I'm willing to add That, like, Texas Blood if it lets us leave.
We still have to order these, dude. Okay, so, excellence. What are we thinking, guys?
I don't remember what happened.
Can we take excellence out by the... You know, can we use the 2020 rule in the sense that it kind of got fucked over by its release schedule?
Yeah.
But this is a book that showed great strides in 2020, and if it's, like, you know, if this is good, this will be in discussion next year, no problem.
I think that that's fair. I think the thing is here is that, like, Alex, you and I both really like Suicide Squad and want it on this list.
But we all like excellence.
We do, but I feel the other part of that is I feel like That Texas Blood is a book that, like, for the purpose of, like, representing all four of us, like, I think that that is a book that, like, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think, like, Emily liked that, that book connected with her maybe a little bit more than the rest of us, and I feel like there's value in, like, having, you know, representation for all four of us on this list, in a bigger way. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm okay. I can't believe that we're doing this, but I'm okay with cutting excellence if it means that Suicide Squad gets on the list.
You know, I didn't read Suicide Squad, but I do agree that when one of the big two puts out a book that is worth, like, talking about this much and that is worth fighting to the end of the list for, I feel like that's worth recognizing and worth putting it on our list just on that merit alone, even if Chad didn't manage to finish it.
Yeah. Okay.
Which leaves us with final decision.
Well, I think we decided, or maybe not.
Oh, they're in red now.
They're in red. Wow.
Yes. Chad. I don't know why I'm asking.
I would say get rid of excellence just because That Texas Blood was a really good issue that we all read, and Emily's, you know, new to the podcast this year, and we got to have fun reading that with her and talking about it when it came out, and, like, I have problems with that comic, But ultimately, I think what it did its what it wanted to do fairly well, and it was fun to talk about it with you guys. I super don't fucking remember a goddamn thing that happened in Excellence. Other than I really liked it. Vaguely, things were cool.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Yeah. Oh, no, that I love like that.
Top 10.
I mean, look, some of this shit was easy. Put Slot Girl at number one, baby. Let's do it.
Nah, put number two.
Yeah, so let's order these really quickly.
Yeah. Number 10 is Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I think Chad made that the condition of Suicide Squad getting on the list.
I'm happy to have it on the list. Then that Texas Blood, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Do you want me to put numbers in front of them?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that. That Texas Blood at number 9. I think it is, you know, it was a great book to talk about. I really enjoyed it. I think this is the sentiment Chad was expressing, but I enjoyed talking about that book with you guys more than reading it. But I think that is like, but I think that's like part of I think that's part of like what this list is.
It's right? Part of comic books, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's part of anything, really.
I would say Killlock at number 8.
Sure.
Okay.
The fact that we had, you know, it took a little bit. We allowed it, but not right away. And now it gets hard.
Is this too low to put Blue and Green on? I really liked it, but
I have it on my top 10, but it is above all the other comics that we have here. So I would say number 7 for Blue and Green is fine with me.
Yeah, I think Blue and Green is the weakest of the best. Yeah. Of the remaining best, I guess. I guess technically the list will tell you that Suicide Squad is the weakest of the best.
But the list is wrong.
Boy, this is hard. How do we rank these?
I think Coffin Bound is number 6, but I know you guys like it more than we do.
I think because Emily didn't like it, I think we can put it at number 6. Just fair because I think the rest were all like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think the top 5 is like a true like, well, Wonder Woman, I guess Emily didn't read Dead Earth. But like,
I read that counts.
Right, but right, exactly, and that counts. It's so but these are like these feel like the book. These five that we have here: Wonder Woman, Dead Earth, Snot Girl, Department of Truth, Gideon Falls, and Die. Like the books of the comics podcast.
I would say,
you know,
yeah.
Department of Truth can come next, because I don't. If we had like a full arc of it.
No, it's three, just been three, it's issues, three issues,
and it hits our number 5 on the list, and it's written by James Tynion, which is what.
Yeah,
life comes at you fast.
Yeah. So, Snot Girl, I don't think we should give it number 1, but do you guys think it should be higher than number 4 for one issue?
Oh wait, issue 4 of Department of Truth came out, but it was one of the weeks where it was the week we did the other lists, so I don't think any of us read it.
I read it, but
oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, right.
I liked it. It was a good issue.
Nice.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Part of me wants to put Snot Girl at number 2 just to be like, it had one issue and it's like fantastic.
I think it deserves to be number 2.
Honestly,
I think
it's Snot Girl my personal number 2.
Yeah.
All right. Me too, actually.
So here's the thing.
Oh,
No, put Snot Girl at number 2. That is correct. So Wonder Woman Dead Earth is my number 1 this year, and Die is higher on my list than Gideon Falls is personally, but I want to put Gideon Falls at number 1. I know that we've recognized it every year. It's been on our top 10 every year that it's come out. But I feel like it's done. It ended well, and we loved all of the issues that came out this year, like collectively. And I think that recognizing the completion of a great story, I think that should be our number 1. Unless
plus,
there's
like,
any.
Gideon Falls has done such inventive things with, like, the medium of comics. Like, between, like, the lettering, the paneling, like.
Yeah.
It really does deserve the number 1 slot. Like.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I would like to see. I mean, Die's very good. I part of me just wants to see Wonder Woman Dead Earth because I just thought it was fantastic. Daniel Warren Johnson. And because it's shorter, so I can have the whole story in my head. But
look, we gave Daniel Warren Johnson number 1 last year. We got to give it to Jeff Lemire this year. And then next year, give it back to Daniel Warren
Johnson. Oh, yeah.
Although, I think the year before, it wasn't actually a Jeff Lemire book at number 1.
Jeff Lemire, you know, right. Maybe we don't actually give him as much credit as we thought. Like, we had 3 Jeff Lemire books in the shortlist, and then suddenly we're down to 1. This is quite sad.
Yeah, but it's also our number 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
also don't really care about this order now that I think about it.
I would say Die at number 4 and Wonder Woman at number 3.
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well. I think Wonder Woman is better than Die. Die is also like an... There will be more chances to put Die higher on the list if we want to.
Yeah.
Cool. Well... We made a top 10 list.
We did.
I should probably read it so that people know what it is.
Don't let them know.
So from number 10 down, we have number 10, Suicide Squad. Number 9, That Texas Blood. Number 8, Kill Lock. Number 7, Blue and Green. Number 6, Coffin Bound. Number 5, Department of Truth. Number 4, Die. Number 3, Wonder Woman Dead Earth. Number 2, Snot Girl. And rounding out our top 10 at number 1, Gideon Falls.
Heck yeah.
Congratulations, boys. We did it.
Congratulations, everybody. It's another year in the bag. Another year of comics reduced to a top 10 list.
One Jeff Lemire comic? Oof. Ridiculous.
Wait, hold on. Maybe we do need to cut Suicide Squad.
I've come to terms with it, and I should vacuum or something. It's 10 o'clock.
I just love that you want to vacuum at 10 o'clock, Chad.
I don't want to vacuum at 10 o'clock. I need to vacuum because I haven't done it yet today, and my house is dirty. I need to clean.
Chad has real adult things to do while the rest of us.
I didn't get any writing done today. I feel like a fucking piece of shit.
You got a lot of talking though, so
yeah.
Not bad. I guess we'll do book club next week then.
Yeah, we can talk
also,
if we want to.
Our full court ranking.
Yeah, if we want to do that next week, we can. But next week we'll be, you know, partially back to regularly scheduled programming here on the Comics yes. Podcast as well. We'll talk about the new books that come out. New DC relaunch, baby. Let's fucking go. But yeah, I think we can leave it there. I feel like... we should just wrap it up since we are almost at 2 hours.
Machi machi. Good luck editing this, Alex.
So thank you everybody for listening. It turned out to be a great year for comics. I think we had a lot of really good shit here. And I feel like this list is like no worse than the list we've had the last 2 years either. In fact, there's some overlap. So yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye everybody.
Bye.
Do we not have plugs?
No.
Oh, okay. No.